Welcome back to another edition of Talk Nerdy to Me. I am your host, Troy Stegner, and I have a special guest. You might remember him. I had him on here before when Calico number one came out. It's HH. How you doing?
Hey there, Troy. Good to see you. Thank you for having us on.
Oh, no. And thanks for the copy of, see if I can get that to focus, Calico number three, dude. Look at that.
Yes.
I finished reading this yesterday, and oh, my God. I mean, don't get me wrong. Issue one and two were great, but this one, it's like you just opened up that world so wide now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're tackling not just animal abuse now. There's some drug stuff in there. There's some clandestine people looks like tracking him. I'm going to put on my eyes so I can actually read.
Yeah.
My first question, I'm looking at the cover here, and it says issue 3 of 8. So what's the plan at 8? Are you going to, I mean, is that story going to end, or are you going to continue this on?
Well, the plan is definitely to continue. We just want to make sure that we put something really solid out, a very strong, solid foundation before we can build anything from this. So I think it's prudent for us to come out swinging with a top-tier book that really has a powerful storyline, very compelling story, fantastic art all around. So we want to make sure that we're, like I said, our foundation is strong.
Yeah, and when you say come out swinging, that wasn't a euphemism. That your main character there, Hector, dude is brutal.
Oh, yeah.
He is very brutal. Yeah, he like I said, he is the voice for all these abused animals. And
right.
Wow. I mean, first page, I mean, what is that? Third panel. He's taking a dude's leg dinger off.
Yeah.
Because he was kicking a dog. So yeah, be careful, man. Don't mistreat animals or you might meet Hector.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So yeah. Like I was saying, this issue 3, you know, the first two issues, we got a decent little backstory on who Calico, a little bit of a backstory on who Calico is and the group behind him who is going out and getting vengeance for these abused animals. But issue number 3, that Calico world has just gotten so much bigger for me, in my mind.
Right.
You got this, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but he finds a dog fighting ring.
Right.
And he's taking care of that dude. And he takes care of that dude later on in the issue. Good Lord.
Right.
But they keep alluding back to the, you know, the one, the dog, the puppy video. I think that was back way in issue 1.
Right.
They're trying to track this guy down. And you just keep sprinkling a little, you know, a little clue here, a little clue there. He keeps getting closer to finding this guy.
Right.
So is that guy, is this going to be the big end game thing, him finally finding that dude?
Well,
or do you
have something else
you're going to drop on us?
Right. I can't answer that, but I can tell you this. I can tell you this. You know, Calico is the executive part of an organization because the studious part is Fauna Anonymous and Dog Mama. Okay, so in any effective resolution to any problem, you have the study part and the execute part, right? So what you're looking at in Calico is the very last part of it. So literally all the public knows yet up until, I guess, this issue, because finally we're actually seeing Dog Mom, who, by the way, you know, Hector has never met before, doesn't know if he met her on the street. Everybody who's working as part of this organization, none of these people know each other. Okay, so we get to see the story of Calico, which is, again, the executive part. We don't really know much about what's happening behind the scenes up until, again, this issue, and only a piece of it. So in this issue, we're actually getting intimately familiar with Dog Mama. We're seeing her for the first time. We're actually not seeing her face, but we're seeing her generally, her, you know, her physique, her body, and her pet, her dog. But we're also seeing that, as you mentioned before, there are other organizations involved here. Calico is walking around Hector with no clue what's going on and how seriously involved he is in this web of danger. So all he's seeing is, okay, these people are sending me these leads. I'm going to go take care of this. But he has no idea how dangerous, you know, what the real danger is behind what's actually happening. So in the next issue 4, you're going to get much more of that story. But to answer your question, yes, we will get some of that resolved sooner than later. So we're not going to keep teasing you like this. Because as you pointed out, you know, Calico does not hold back, and the story doesn't hold back either. I mean, look, on the first page, you were the first person, actually, your channel was the first person, I'm pretty sure, to review the series. And the first thing that struck you, if you remember that video, is right from the first page, you're getting something that's blowing your mind, that's churning your stomach. That's like, whoa, we don't waste time. We appreciate the...
No.
The fundamentals of storytelling. So this is why we are having you course through these passages to get to where we're going to get to. So we do appreciate these fundamentals, and we stick to them. But let me tell you, we have a character in Calico who makes that difficult because, you know, he's all about the action and he does not hold back. And in this issue, you know, you mentioned issue 2, where the collective sentiment by the comic book expert community and review community was, hey, this guy's intense. And, you know, we got to breathe in issue 2. You know, we got a little breather, but there's no breathing. There's no breathing.
If that's a breather from issue 2, then, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Issue 2 was pretty brutal, too.
Right. Right. So, you know.
Yeah, he doesn't bury the lead. Hector does, you know, it's like – bam, right up in your face. You know, this is what you did. I'm getting revenge for him. Boom.
Right. And, you know, just one more thing about this. I just got off of another channel. And, you know, the topic there was what's going on in mainstream comic books right now and how it's very sort of, you know, the word boring was tossed around a bit, but the pace is much more deliberate. And, you know, you have people, superheroes are sitting down at a table at a conference discussing, you know, what's going to be transpiring. And it ends with, you know, these heroes sitting down at a table talking. And I said to myself, you know, I asked the moderator, I said, listen, the host, I said, what's the fundamental thing that heroes and villains do? They fight. Okay. They fight. This is what they do. So you have a lot of, creators, you know, the big two, these, you know, mainstream comics that don't know the first thing about fighting, you know, and you and I are of a similar generation where I can guarantee you, you know, we got into some fights, you know, and we understand the topic. And certainly in my case, I grew up in the Bronx. I got into lots of fights. So I understand what fighting is and how to craft that into the storyline. Again, the fundamental of comic of heroes and villains interaction of comic books. So you get that in this series. Okay. And we don't hold back.
Yeah. I never thought about that analogy. I guess mainstream's more Joss Whedon and you guys are more Zack Snyder. It's just, you know, they're the mainstream ones. They're so verbose and everything. And they want to set these things up. And that's it. And you guys are just like, you know what's going to happen. You know they're going to fight. Why beat around the bush? Let's just, boom, get into it. And I appreciate that. Instead of having to wait, you know, 4 issues to see a little bit of action and then wait another 4 issues for a little more.
Absolutely.
Every one of your guys' issues has just been action-packed.
Right.
Crazy. Right. Talking about this organization behind Hector, Calico, the main character, they've got some kind of connection. They're like, they got some Stark Industry-type technology they're using, you know, from his suit all the way down to Bumble, who is, you know, their eye in the sky guy there.
Right.
It's just, so I'm guessing we're going to find out where they're being funded eventually too, because that stuff can't be cheap, man.
That's exactly right. You're hitting on it on all cylinders right now. You know, this is, there's going to be some big reveals, and I think the readership is going to be blown away by who's actually funding this and where the funding is actually coming from. It's going to be a doozy, let me tell you.
Yeah, and we get a little bit of Hector's past. We find out, you know, he was a burglar back in the day, I guess.
That's right.
We're going to see more of Kingman from Kingman's Emporium and the rats, because those guys, more than anything else, those are what intrigued me. I want to know more about those guys. Right. I want to see more. Maybe even get their own series.
Right. So everyone on the street, you know, you pointed out to Kingman and the rats. So that takes place in a part of the Bronx in the northwest of the Bronx where there's a big Irish population. Okay. And there's actually people in that neighborhood that speak with the Irish brogue. Okay. And Kingman is actually, he's part of the underworld, the dark underworld. And he operates a pawn shop, but you know, I can't tell you what other things he's involved in, but he's definitely not one of the good guys. Okay. And he also is a character from Hector's past. As you pointed out, Hector used to be a burglar, a cat burglar. So, and a very good one, according to Kingman, you know, the very best. So, you know, he knows that Hector's still in the area, even though he's moved out, he's in Brooklyn now. But, you know, when Hector's going to be pawning off some of these goods that he gets a hold of every now and then, he knows to go to the right people, because Kingman's not someone who's going to ever, you know, deal with the authorities, or because he's way deeper than anyone else is. And Kingman is as Hector points out, he's one of the most dangerous men in the underworld of New York City. He also happens to have Down syndrome. So he's a very unique character in that sense. And he also only hires people who have Down syndrome in his shop. So I think he's the most unique character in this series, actually, because he's going to be involved in some interesting things. So. And the rats are...
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's so, you know, you have a lot of stuff in here that it's underrepresented in mainstream comics. I mean, the rats, we didn't even mention it. They're little people.
Right.
You've got, you know, Kingman with Down syndrome. Mean Gene, I didn't even get to him yet.
Right.
He's a paraplegic, you know, he's no legs. Right. I mean, right. you're hitting everything that has not been in comics.
And right.
I love that.
Right. And it's just funny because...
So what made you decide to do that?
Well, it's funny because there's this whole, you know, culture war apparently that's going on in comics where, you know, there's, you know, people who feel underrepresented are making themselves represented in comic books. And the fact is that, you know, we're accomplishing the same thing, but without impacting the story, the storyline, without detracting from the action and the adventure and the whole suspense of a comic book. And that's been the knock on all of these different things that have been happening with comic books lately. People want to sort of insert themselves into comic books. And frankly, personally speaking, you know, I think diversity is a wonderful thing. I think we need more of it. The problem is when you start impacting the storylines and you start impacting the quality and the craft of what we know as comic books. So here's an example of where you can create diversity in our comic book, where we have, you know, a Latin anti-hero. We have people with Down syndrome represented, not just a person, people with Down syndrome represented. We have people who are, you know, little people, as you mentioned, represented. We have a paraplegic. You know, we are able to do the same things without muddying the story, without damaging the story, while giving you something that's going to be a page turner from page to page, you know.
And those characters are not sympathetic characters. These are some really, for lack of a better word, these are some badass dudes, man. They, I wouldn't want to meet any of those guys in a dark alley. They, you know, it's not like you're forcing these characters into the story.
Right.
They actually feel like they're part of the story.
Absolutely.
And they're being represented as, you know, as individual people instead of like, oh, look at this. No, don't mess with the rats, man. Don't mess with any of those guys. Like you said.
Well said. See, that's a fantastic point, yes. Troy. You make an excellent point. And frankly, I haven't heard that. Actually, I have heard part of that point that you just made. So when there is a concerted push to have diversity in comic books, it's always almost a condescending approach to it. It's like, oh, okay, well, let's put these little people in here and make them feel represented, and you sort of tippy-toe around the issue, and you handle them with kid gloves and all this business. No, no, no. These, as you mentioned, these people are going right for the jugular. Okay, they're showing their personalities. They're not being all delicate. Well, I have Down syndrome. Let me stand right here and play my part. No, no, no. You know, Kingman is talking about putting Hector on a job. You know, he's talking about trying to compel him back into the underworld again. This guy's hustling Hector. You know, he's playing a little mind game with his money. You know, when he walks in, he's got his goon who's, you know, has Hector in the air and smashes him down. Yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of craziness going on here.
Yeah, I mean, Hector's a bad dude, and he has all kind nothing but respect for the rats and for Kingman, and so right. That it tells you right there's something to him, because Hector can hold his own,
right?
But he respects these guys. He knows they can do some damage to him.
Absolutely. You see Hector in that boxing gym, and you know, that's you see the kind of tough guys he's dealing with, and he walks out in the street to try to, you know, pawn off some merchandise, and that's who he's dealing with. He's dealing with those guys you just mentioned. So
right. Now, is this drug that you guys made, the B-side,
right?
Is that going to factor heavily into this, or is it just kind of a sideline story?
It's a way to introduce the next big bad. So I'll leave it at that. The big bad is involved in lots of things, and the big bad is one of the people who is funding some of these illegal dogfights. You know, dogfighting is a big business. In this country. So think about it. If you're holding down money on one of the biggest city per capita in the country, right? New York City. Think about all the illegal dogfighting that's going on there. And do you not think that there's, you know, networking going around? Who's getting all that money? And who's muscling into whose dogfight game? You know, and who's coming in and making sure that money's, you know, filtered up to the right person. That's just one game out of tons of games that these guys move into, and they all muscle into them. So this is now some, you know, Calico's getting into some deeper waters. Let's just put it that way. And mind you, if you remember, this particular jaunt is one that's off the record, because the network doesn't know about it. Okay, the network doesn't know about this one. Dog Mama didn't give him this lead. He learned about this because June keyed him into the landlord across the street who was doing this, and the guy thought he was being killed. But unbeknownst to him, Calico really wasn't going to kill him. He was just going to, you know, do a little number on him. But in the process, he squealed on this dogfighting ring. So that's the only reason why we're seeing Hector pursuing this avenue, this course.
So he's going to stumble onto the big bad guy by accident.
There you go.
Yeah, he takes care of the dog fighting ring, the leader. I mean, I'll leave that for the readers, but oh my God. Yeah, you thought it was brutal before. That they took care of that guy really great. Okay, let's talk about the last page here. Actually, the last couple panels.
Right.
You know, you got him doing his Batman, Moon Knight thing, jumping across from building to building in the sky. Right. He's not being as stealthy as he thinks, because there's somebody waiting for him over on the other building when he lands off panel, you know, talking to him. And, you know, you see the other people. It's almost like he's being trailed by Men in Black looking guys here.
Right.
And so is this going to be a friend or a foe, or can you say?
Well, I can say this. You hit it right on the head. He has been a bit careless in his jaunt, right? So this is what happens when you go off the script, okay? And you know this as a professional. You know, you can ad hoc, ad lib things all you want. You know, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But when you don't plan something and you just sort of like, all right, let's see what this leads us to, you're going to be more apt to find trouble because it was a move that you made without planning. So every move, you know, you see how diligently that team works. They literally have a piece of software that tracks the percentage of how prepared and how finished the files are so that Calico can go and execute the, you know, the balance of that file. Okay. In issue two, we learned that he prefers files to be, you know, higher up in the 80 to 90 range, because if he's missing information, you know, he's compromised in many ways, and he's dealing with much more difficult situations than normal. I mean, one example was he mentions in issue two about Dog Mama sending him a file that was somewhere in the 60 or 70% completion rate, and it took him 2 months to close that file. So, you know, Hector isn't the kind of person who is just sitting there and saying yes to everything that comes in. That example right there shows you that he prefers to have everything sort of polished before he actually puts the suit on and goes out and gets stuff done. But his passion, that's the key word there, his love of animals, his passion for doing the right things for these animals is such that in this case, he decided to just throw the suit on and go follow on this report. And, you know, thankfully he has Bumble to give him reconnaissance, but otherwise, you know, he'd be going in blind.
Wow. Yeah, I did it. I mean, if you can't tell me, just say so. Is Hector the only operative, or do they have other? It just seems like just having one point of failure would be kind of not good. So I'm wondering, is he going to eventually team up with some other operative to help take out the big bad? But if you can't tell me because, you know, it hasn't been revealed yet, that's fine.
Right, right. I can't go into that. All I can say is Calico. All I can say is Calico is definitely the executor of this team that is assembled here. And, you know, Dog Mom is the main data researcher. And, you know, she frankly can't do her work without the incredible elite hacking capabilities of Fauna Anonymous.
Okay, we'll accept that.
Yeah.
Like I said, man, I've been enjoying it so far. I love the story. I love the characters. And like I said, with this issue three, for me, it just seems like, you know, we had this little sliver of what Calico was, and now it's just expanded so much that all these possibilities are hitting me. And I'm really anxious to see where it's going to go from now. And, you know, only five more issues to tie this all up. You're going to have a heck of a job with all these new characters you're introducing.
Right, right. Listen, this is a fun project, and we want to continue doing it because this is an idea that we knew from the beginning had legs, and everyone who's involved in the project is super excited and motivated. You know, you could see it in the work. The quality of the work is top notch. You know, I've always heard that when you do anything with love, you could really taste it. You could really see it. You know, that expression, I've always heard it in the kitchen. You know, my mother is a great cook. I'm very fortunate. And, you know, you can tell when she had a long day, or, you know, when she really was able to put everything, her heart and soul into it, and because you could taste it rather quickly. And I think that the readers of the series are going to be just fantastically satiated with issue number three, because as you pointed out, the fireworks, someone lit a match in this bag of fireworks. And you know, yes, I don't know which issue is your favorite thus far, but I can tell you issue three was a delight. So
yeah, every issue has been my favorite so far. So the new one comes out, that becomes my favorite, because you just keep ramping it up, man. It's great. I love it. So tell everybody where they can get these issues of Calico.
Right. Well, aside from your wonderful store, you know, we're going to send you some comic books there. You could find them in select comic book stores all across the country. We might be hitting up some cons. So you might see us nationwide, because we want to start doing that as well and start meeting our fans, because we, you know, the fan base is growing incredibly. And we're so happy and appreciative for all you guys out there who are reading the series and supporting us. Remember, when you support our series, you're not just supporting Sigma Comics in our effort to deliver quality title, but you're also supporting the fight against animal abuse. All of our advertisers are indeed animal rights charities, and these are all vetted charities. These aren't just, you know, blind charities that we work with. We vet them very, very highly to make sure that these are the precise charities that dedicate the bulk of their funds to the causes that they're you know, mentioning. Because, you know, a lot of these charities, what they do is they take in these massive budgets, and then they get these executives get these huge salaries, and they dedicate a pittance to the actual movement and the actual goal of preventing and fighting against animal abuse. In this case, that's not the case. So thank you for your support, your continued support. The main place, the absolute number one place and the quickest way to get the comic book, outside of course, your store, would be SigmaComics.com. Sigma Comics, S-I-G-M-A, Comics.com. And we're Sigma Comics because we don't follow another leader. We beat to our own drum, and we have our own way of doing things, our own way of telling a story. So SigmaComics.com.
So there you have it, guys. Like, and if I didn't like the comic, I would tell you. I have no problems telling you if I don't like it, but that's not the case. I can't wait for it. Every time you tell me you're sending me the next one, I check the mail every morning to try to get that. So, and honestly, I think this would be, maybe you should try to sell it to Netflix or something. I think that would be an awesome, awesome Netflix type show. And, you know, they can do the brutality. That's not a problem. It's streaming. So,
well, no comment.
Crossing my fingers, man. If you're already talking with them, then I hope everything goes well, because I would love to see this live action.
Well, thank you for your support, Troy. And like I said, you're one of the first people. I credit you as being, you know, one of the first people, if not the first person, who really spotted this gem. And you know, this is a, guys, you know, you people who are watching this channel. This book is, I'm not just saying this because I'm, you know, the creator and founder and the writer. Remember, I'm a comic book fan too, and I grew up reading comics. This is a magnificent series. A lot of work has gone into it, a lot of thought, and there are a lot of moving parts, and all of them are working on top cylinder. Okay, we're firing on all cylinders here, and we're really putting our heart and soul into this. And let me tell you, for the price that we have, $2.99, $1.99 for a digital, you're simply not going to get a better deal than this. Go out and get Here Comes Calico number 3, and get the series. You guys are going to love this. This is a seriously good book.
Agreed. And I can't wait for issue 4.
All right. We're excited.
Right. Hey, thanks for taking time out of your busy day. I know you're probably working on issue 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Right.
So I appreciate you taking your time to come here and talk to me and the everybody on the channel. And right. I'm doing everything I can to push the book here in the store. And hopefully, you know, we'll see you at one of these cons around here soon.
Absolutely. And I just want to thank you, Troy, and everyone. Please keep it tuned to Zia. Zia Comics is where it's at. This is a team here that knows comics. Okay, they are doing the job. Harder than a lot of other channels out there, spotting some good stuff, and they're bringing it to you raw. So keep it tuned to Zia Comics, keep supporting this channel, and keep reading comics. Thank you for your support.
Great. Thanks for the plug, man, and we'll see you at issue 4.
Sounds good, Troy. Good talking to you. Thank you.
All right, thanks, HH.
Get nerdy with me. Tell me what game that you get on. Is it COD or Reef? What kind of class do you play, girl? In an RPG.